Welcome to Pardes Parsha Podcast with Rav Landes, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. I'm Rachel Isaacs, a Pardes student and your host for today. The first rains of the season fell this past week, and it's a beautiful day in Jerusalem. We look forward to learning some Torah with you today. Thank you for tuning in. Today's shiur is about Parshat Bereishit. A couple of brief announcements, and then we'll turn it over to Rav Landes. Your participation and feedback is vital to the success of the podcast series. Please send us comments on the episode, where you live, and how you heard about us. Send your email to podcast@pardesusa.org. Thank you. There is a handout sheet available for this podcast. It's optional, but helpful. It's available via www.pardes.org/podcast. Or stroke podcast if you live in the UK. That's it. And now Rav Landes, the director and Rosh Yeshiva of the Pardes Institute. Rav Landes?
Thank you, and thank you for the words about the rains, because Bereishit begins in the myths, in the chaos and the confusion. And the purpose of our learning this year, the direction of our learning this year, is to find a verse and to find a pasuk and to work that pasuk out, and from that working out, perhaps get a better sense of the parsha, the full biblical portion for that week. A lot of P's, but we're starting with a B. We're starting with Bereishit. In fact, let's start at the very beginning. Bereishit bara Elokim et hashamayim v'et haaretz. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In the beginning, or according to another possible interpretation, Rashi's interpretation, Bereishit, when God created, or when there in the beginning God created. The first interpretation, Bereishit, in the beginning, the very beginning of time. When God created offers another possibility, which actually Maimonides talks about. Maimonides says you really can't say it's the beginning of time, because time didn't exist until there was creation. So Bereishit is really the when, and the beginning of creation, and the beginning of time, and the beginning of the whole thing, all wrapped into one. My concern today with you is this first word, Bereishit, in the beginning, when God created. You see in the beginning of that word, and I can't get away from saying the word beginning, but in that word itself, you see the word Rosh. Rosh means head. Rosh means chief elements. Maimonides also comments that Rosh, therefore, could really mean the most essential thing is that God created heaven and earth. Not when, in terms of time or the beginning of time, or in the absolute beginning of time, but Bereishit. What's fundamental to us? What's the notion of value of the world? Bereishit. Rosh. This is the head. This is the chapter heading. This is the summary statement. This is the ikar. This is the essential element. This is the chief thing. This is the head of every other concept. God created heaven and earth. That's our Bereishit. And from there, from the medieval rabbis, we're going to go back to the very first midrash, and the very first understanding and discussion by the rabbis of what can this word mean. And the rabbis begin this way. This is the very first comment in the great collection of rabbinic exegesis, the Midrash, Midrash Rabbah, the great Midrash. Rabbi Hoshaya commenced his exposition thusly. Rabbi Hoshaya Rabbah, he was the great rabbi. He began, and how does he begin? He begins by quoting another verse. So let's quote the verse, and then I'll tell you what's going on here. I'll try to explain it to myself as I go along. And I'm going to, for the verses, I will be speaking both in Hebrew and English. He quotes a verse from Mishlei, from Proverbs. Mishlei Chet Lamed, Proverbs 8, verse 30, that says the following. V'heyeh etzlo amon, v'heyeh shashuim yom yom. Then I was by him as a nursling, and I was daily all his delight. This is how Midrash works. Midrash has the idea that all the verses of the Bible, all the verses in Tanakh, in the Hebrew Bible, are connected. They're connected, and they can be connected. They They unfold the top of each other. They're endless points. They're endless points of connection, of contact, of friction, of rubbing against each other. And sometimes they will bring, the rabbis, verses that seem to be very, very far away from the notion of any sort of symmetry between them, any sort of common understanding. But somehow the rabbis say, no, 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 these verses are meant to be together. So let's go back to this verse. This verse comes from Mishlei, comes from Proverbs, and it comes from a full section. And I'm going to read to you this full section. This verse, I said to you, is verse 30. But let me read to you slowly, starting from verse 22. And just one or two of the sentences will be in Hebrew, but the rest will be in English. Verse 22 begins, Adonai kononi reshit darko, kedem mif'alav be'az. The Lord created me as the beginning of his way. Reshit darko, the beginning of his way. The first of his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the highest part of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle over the surface of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when the fountains of the deep became strong, when he gave to the sea its decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as a nursling, and I was daily his delight, playing always before him, playing with the universe, his earth, and my delight were with the sons of men. Who is this mysterious creature that was there at the very beginning of time? Who is this creation that somehow was simultaneously created with heaven and earth, or seemingly even before heaven and earth? Proverbs comes from the wisdom literature. Proverbs, Mishlei, is advice, good advice, sound advice. And sometimes the voice of Mishlei, the voice of Proverbs, is the voice of the, well, I always think about Mishlei as the wise uncle or the wise aunt, not an authority figure in the terms of control, but an authority figure in terms of source of wisdom, a source of life experience. I wish many times for many of people that I have to counsel, that I had the privilege of counseling, that they could use a good aunt or a good uncle to give them validation, to give them a little hints along the way about how life should be. Often we have that type of person in our life, whether it's a real uncle or aunt, or whether it's an honorary uncle or aunt, who just, they may not have academic degrees, they may not have fancy titles, they may not have a fancy position in life, but you know that they know something about the deepest part of life. And that's really the voice of Mishlei. And Mishlei sometimes becomes personified. It's not just wisdom literature, literature about wisdom, but it's really chachma. It's wisdom, chachma. In Yiddish, chachma. It's wisdom speaking. That's a feminine term, by the way, wisdom speaking. And Torah and chachma are beautiful heritage, and chachma and wisdom itself is identified as one. So here wisdom is making a statement about herself. And wisdom says, you know, I was there at the beginning of creation. I was there before the seas were founded. I was there before even the whole waters of the firmament were parted. When the dust of the earth was being gathered together, when God established the heavens. I was there somehow with God, wisdom says. And here wasn't a great statement about God, that God is understood as one who prizes wisdom, not prizes power, control, or some whimsical way of dealing with the world that God is about to create. But God prizes wisdom itself. And wisdom says, she says, I was there and I was young. It was the young part of her creation. And God delighted in me and God played with me. And I was with God as this young nursling, as this young child, this young baby. And God is over me and cooing and poking me and playing with me. He has unending delight in me. But my delight was also looking towards that further creation a few days later, the creation of the human. The rabbis want to know what happened there at the beginning. How did God create the world? And what type of world and universe is being created? And what type of God is creating this world and universe? And what does that mean to us? So let's go back to this midrash. Rabbi Hoshaya says, the great Rabbi Hoshaya says, V'heyeh etzlo amon, V'heyeh sha'a shu'im yom yom, and I was by him as a nursling, and I was his delight day by day. So what does it mean, this word amon, nursling? The rabbis spent a little time on this. They have different translations of what this wisdom is by being an amon, by being a nursling. The nursling is the most literal translation, but there's other associative meanings. For example, the first translation they give is amon, pedagogue. Pedagogue means, you see the Greek, you hear the Greek, means tutor. And therefore, I was with him as a tutor or as a teacher or a future teacher, a future educator, or one to be educated to be a future teacher. And that's why God has delight in me day by day. Another translation, and for each one of these translations, they bring biblical verses, which we can't do right now, but you can find in the sources, which show that to be a possible translation. Amon could also mean mechuseh, that which is covered. So what would that mean? I was by God as a covered, or as a mutznah, as a very righteously hidden and covered and modest creation. Wisdom doesn't display herself. Wisdom isn't something which is showy. Wisdom is sometimes under that plain wrapper. And according to others, the word abon means great. And these translations are given. And therefore, in the context here, God created the heaven and earth. God created the heaven and earth with somehow using and employing wisdom who was there. And wisdom says, I'm the Torah. I'm the one who will be the teacher for everyone. I'm the Torah. I'm the one who's covered. I'm the Torah. I'm chachma. I'm wisdom. I'm the one who is modest. I am one who has potential for greatness. And that's the first set of translation. All that is a setup for the rabbis, I believe, to get to his real desire, the real desire of the Midrash. And the real desire of the Midrash is to tell us what Uman could really mean. So Dovar Acher, the rabbis say, Uman or Amon. Amon, Uman, the Torah says that Amon, nursling, could also mean Uman, which is a craftsman, a draughtsman, a architect, a contractor. All these are the terms for one who has the artistry of creation. So here's what the Torah says. A Torah omerit, Torah says, Ani hayiti klei umnato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was the architect, the working tool of the Holy One, blessed be He. In human practice, the Midrash continues, when a mortal king builds a palace, he builds it not with his own skill, but he builds it with the skill of an architect. The Midrash continues, the architect, moreover, does not build it out of his head, but employs plans and diagrams to know how to arrange the chambers and the wicket doors. Thus God consulted the Torah and created the world. While the Torah creates, in the beginning, God created Bereshit Bara Elokim. Let's try this. Let's see if we can understand this. Looking at the first commentary from Midrash, the Midrash itself brings us back to the biblical verse from Proverbs. Proverbs tells us who was there with God at the creation. Chachma, wisdom, Torah says, I was there. And I was there as a nursling. I was there daily, all his delight. I was an Amon. And now, in this particular Midrashic explanation, they read not Amon, they changed the vocalization, they read it as Uman. I was the working tool. I was the architect. And how do you build the building? One thing you know in Israel is that, you know, one of the great things in Israel is when people have, they buy their own apartments and they're able to get the money together. And it's, you know, this is a universal experience, obviously not just in Israel, but elsewhere. But in Israel, it has its own poignancy. Because in Israel, you finally get the money together and you get other people to help sign for you and you're able to buy a place and you sign away so much of your future income for years and years in order to have your place in the land of Israel. And then you come to the next step. And the next step is what's called shiputzim. Shiputzim is when you do those repairs, renewal, the change within the household. And this becomes incredibly traumatic for people. Everyone's working with a small budget, and everyone tells you, no matter what budget you go for, it's always going to be double, and it always is. And then you have to find the right architect and the right contractor. One thing you know is, and a contractor that will eventually finish it, and one thing you do know is that the contractor who comes in and says, don't worry, I can do it from my head, I know exactly what you need. Don't worry about any diagrams, whatever accent that they have in Hebrew or in Yiddish or in Arabic, whatever type of contractor you have, if they tell you you don't need a diagram, you know, you're in trouble. Because who knows how that room is going to be built and who knows how it's going to be sticking out. The architect, according to the Midrash, can't build out of his head. He employs plans and diagrams to know how to arrange the chamber and the wicket doors. Thus God looked into the Torah and created the world. According to this unbelievable Midrashic statement, the architect of creation, God, he needed his plan for the world, and the plan was in this pre-existing Torah, this universal, ancient, even pre-ancient wisdom. And from there, the world was created. What could this possibly mean? Well, this is a very deep, deep teaching. Normally when people think about, and they think positively about Torah and the world, they think in the following terms. They say that God created heaven and earth, and God created the human in so many different ways, in so many different parts, so many different needs. And the Torah is there as itself being a creation of God. The Torah is there in order for us to fulfill ourselves. The Torah is there so that we can be better human beings, so that we learn how to live with each other. We learn how to develop ourselves. We learn the ideas of purity, of sanctity, of friendship, and of love. And the Torah, therefore, is there to really, and it does, enhance our life, and it challenges us and enhances our life in many, many ways. Well, this midrash and this image sets everything on its head. According to this image, it's the Torah basing itself on this evocation from Mishlei, from Proverbs. The Torah, Chachma, is a universal wisdom that pre-exists the world. It's there at the very beginning, before anything was created. And what's the purpose of creation? The purpose of creation is actually to fulfill this wisdom. And we're talking about wisdom here. We're not talking about just mathematics. We're talking about the wisdom of love, the wisdom of dedication, the wisdom of creation of society, the wisdom of creation of family, the wisdom of creation of friendships and of beneficial alliances and of relationships, and what the world, and we are there in a sense to fulfill those potentialities. In other words, we have an arm, we have a heart, we have a head, and some will say, and it's a beautiful explanation, that the beautiful ritual of tefillin, of phylacteries, and we bind ourselves in our phylacteries, we bind together our arm to our heart, to our head, that we become a unified person. Evidently, according to this midrash, it's the opposite. We have arms in order to put on tefillin. Well, that sounds almost ludicrous, but think of it also in the moral sphere. Maybe we have an arm so that we can extend a hand in friendship to another fellow. Maybe we have fingers so that we can put our fingers in our pocket to take out money to give tzedakah or to write a check. Maybe we have two arms so that we can embrace someone. Maybe we're created, according to this interpretation, not for our own self-fulfillment, or the Torah is not created in order to make us better, but we're created in order to bring love into the world, to bring justice into the world, to allow for this structure that God has put together, not to be empty and not to be hollow, but to be brimming with life and to be brimming with warmth. So this is how the Midrash ends. Bereshit, Bara Elokim. In the beginning, God created. And the Midrash continues, Ein Bereshit Ela Torah. And Bereshit can only refer to Torah. As the verse says, and I've actually quoted to you part of this verse, the verse at the end of this section of Mishle, I should say rather at the beginning, at the beginning of Mishle, Adonai Kanoni Reshit Darko, Kedem Mifalav Me'az, the Lord created me as the beginning of his way. The Lord created me reshit, at the very beginning of his way. So what does bereshit bara Elokim, in the beginning God created? Not when God created, or in the beginning God created, but it's a code. Bereshit, with that first chief thing, with Torah, God created the world. God created the world to fulfill the possibilities of all the great ideals, the ideals of chesed, of loving kindness, and of justice. Bereshit, these are the ideals of the Torah. With the reshit of the Torah, God created the world. He looked into that great architectural plan, which is the Torah, and he says, this is the type of world that I want to create. And when we study the Torah, and we study the Torah along with the rabbis, they are our partners in study, we're there at the beginning of creation. It's not just that we go back in time, but we continuously create and recreate ourselves, our world, our life, our families, our society, our community. We create a world of meaning. We create a world of potential meaning. We create a world in which it can be a world of endless delight, a world in which no one is absent, a world in which everyone is considered. That's the story of Bereshit. It was wonderful studying with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Please tell your friends about this podcast, and please let us know your thoughts and comments. Send us email via podcast@pardesusa.org. The producer of this episode was Robbie Grossman. Shalom and goodbye from Jerusalem.